Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. I'm Andy White, and I'm joined by Felice.
Hello.
I almost forgot who I was joined by. Felice Ayling. Now, in the last show, we talked about the sort of technical side of SEO. So the next bit is about the human-y content side of things, the content SEO, if you like, isn't it, Felice?
Yes. That's, I think once you've got the actual, you know, the build right and you've got the structure of the website right, it's then looking at what factors do you need to consider with on-page content with regards to SEO? And I think this is where sometimes website owners start sort of getting a little bit confused because some of it then with the technical stuff, it's very clear cut. It's one thing or the other. But when it comes to content, it's a little bit more ambiguous and a lot more down to sort of judgment and common sense. We say common sense, but obviously common sense is based on experience. So
yeah.
If you've never done it before, you know, it can often be quite difficult to know how to actually utilize all of these different things. So we just thought we'd run through the main ones. Metadata.
Yep.
So that's the stuff in the background of each page that basically tells Google what that page is all about.
Metadata, data about data.
Data about data, yeah. So the two main ones are your title tag and your description of the content. The title tag is normally the page title. If it's a clothing website, you're selling, you know, jumpers, it would be, you know, men's jumpers or men's shirts or something like that would be, you know, either your category landing page or it'd be, you know, the title of the blog post would be the title. Now, the meta description is, it's a quite a short piece of text that should outline why the user should visit that page. So
is this the bit of text that appears after the main dark blue bit on the Google results?
Yes. I mean, the idea of it is that Google pulls that out and uses it and displays it alongside the search results. But that piece of text is the first thing the user sees.
Yeah.
And should contain enough information to make them want to click through that link and read that piece of content. So normally we'd recommend you have obviously the brand name in there somewhere. Tell people what the page is all about and, you know, try and include a call to action if you can. If there's something like, you know, a discount code or an offer on the page, include that in the description. If it's a guide to something or a template for something, don't just say this page, you know, this is a template or a guide, tell people how it's going to help them.
Yeah.
Google doesn't always pull them out and use them to display. It might pull content from somewhere else on the page. Again, you know, we hope that they'll use it. But
so it's not absolutely deterministic then?
No, you
it's
can't.
It's a bit heuristic.
It is a little bit. But for the most part, that piece of text is what will be displayed alongside the search results.
Yeah, because I've just put my favourite joke word, flange, into Google. The first entry was flange, Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, in bold blue. And underneath it's got a flange as an external or internal ridge or rim. So it's telling me what it is. So presumably that, like normally unbolded paragraph of text is the description, the meta description.
It would normally be. I think wiki pages are slightly different. I don't think they have that
probably,
kind of...
I've probably done a really bad example
that's
then.
Probably the first line or something in the text. Obviously, that's quite descriptive. You probably wouldn't actually need to click through the page. You know what it is now. But there'll be other things. It would be something like, so if there's a guide to... I'm just trying to think of examples. So a guide or a template for a specific task or something that you're looking for.
Yes.
You know, you can tell people improve your customer service with our helpful guide, or, you know, be something like that. So give people a clear idea as to why they would want to click through to that piece of content.
Yeah, I mean, I've just put varnish a kangaroo in, and the first hit was industrial and marine coatings, walrus etching primer. So there you go. It proves what you just said. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Okay, so that's the back end stuff. That's the stuff that Google sees, and the stuff that should be displayed in the results.
Wasn't the meta description downgraded? I say recently, it's probably about 2 years ago now. I know it used to be very important, didn't it? And there were people, or was that the keyword meta description? The keyword meta area.
Well, obviously, I mean, before the big updates, the title tags and meta descriptions were one of the main areas Google looked to determine the content on the page. But obviously, with so many, you know, black hat SEOers out there, got quite wise to this. So, you know, the title tags and the meta description, you could pretty much say anything you liked in that, and it may actually bear no resemblance to what was actually on the page when the user got there. So it's an indicator now. It's the first port of call. Google looks at that and thinks, okay, this gives me an idea of what's on the page. But then it also looks at what's actually
now
on
I'll
the
look
page.
In the page.
Yeah.
Yes.
And make
Does
sure those two things actually match up.
Yeah.
So it is important to get it right, especially if that text is being pulled out in the search results, because that's the way you make your link stand out from everybody else's. So it is quite important. It's good to place a good hook in there. However, if everything else is a little bit flat, or the actual content on the page isn't that great,
or it doesn't match up,
then you may as well not bother.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, so it has some influence. Again, we never know exactly how much it does. We just know it's, you know, all, it should be a case of all of these things working together. No one thing on its own is going to improve your rankings or do too much for the content on the page if you've got things wrong elsewhere.
Sure. I think this sums up Google's approach these days, doesn't it? It's more of a holistic look at the page.
It is, yes. I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, content is king and, you know, just focus on the end user and make sure that the content's relevant, et cetera, et cetera. However, there are still technical things you do need to think about. You know, it isn't just a case of, you know, if you build it, they will come. You do need to have, you know, some idea of what Google's also looking at, as well as what's actually on the page. So again, it's the balance of the two. You know, if you just focus on technical, you're going to miss. You're going to miss a lot. But if you just focus on the content and you don't look at technical at all, you're going to miss out as well. So the next thing is obviously content on page.
Now, is this to do with writing for the web versus writing for a paper page?
Well, you know, Google keeps telling us write for the audience. Write content that reads well, that's easy to understand, that's informative, that's relevant. You know, and that's the most important thing, which it is. You know, if people come to your page and they start reading and it's terribly, you know, terribly written, and, you know, it's got keywords flying around all over the place and links everywhere, and half the stuff's in bold and not, you know, because someone's focused too much on the technical, they'll bounce off the page. They won't bother reading it.
Yeah.
And Google knows that. It knows if people are actually reading the content. So it's just about making sure that it's well written. And it's written for a particular audience in mind, and it has a clear theme. So if you're going to write a piece of content, know exactly what you're going to focus on, why you're writing it, and just make sure that you're staying true to that theme, and you're not going off in different directions, trying to pick up as many keywords as you can in one document. The next things are headlines. So these are the headers on your page. The main ones are obviously H1, H2, and H3. Only use one H1 in any page. That's the main header, usually at the top, should be at the top of the page.
Yes.
And again, you know, as you go down, the H1s, Google will put more onus on those than they will on the H2s and the H3s.
Sure.
And then obviously any other headings that are in bold, it'll look at those. But the H1s should include specific keywords.
Okay.
And descriptive keywords.
Is this all to do with good document structure? Try saying that fast three times.
Yeah.
So it's okay. So one H1 tag, and it's okay to have more than one H2 tags, because they're like subheadings, aren't they?
They are, yeah, like subheadings. And then H3 is obviously a subheading.
A subheading is H4. I mean, is there any latest thinking on how deep you can go with your headings?
Again, I would say it all depends on what you're writing. It's about it making sense. Using H1s is a really good way of breaking up content. Obviously, you don't want one whole page of text with no, you know, paragraphs, no breaks. It makes it really difficult for the user to read. So it makes it, you know, just look a lot more friendly. It makes it read easier. Users can scroll down and use the headings to find the section of the content that they want to read. So it's about common sense.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that you use the headings where appropriate. So don't put headings in bold when you should be tagging them as H1s or H2s. So make sure that you're using them, because it does help Google to understand the content on the page. And if your keywords are in the H1s, Google looks at that and thinks that keyword is more important than some of the other words that might be occurring throughout the document.
It's interesting what you say, actually, about big paragraphs, because I think more and more people are reading on mobile now, mobile devices, smaller screens. One thing that puts me off the most when I get my Galaxy S4 out, which is not tiny, but not huge, is just seeing a monolithic block of text. I just look at it and go, flick, what email have I got?
It's even more important on mobile, because we know that people are looking for shorter pieces of content. You know, you're more likely to read something like that on a desktop. But even then, if it's really not user-friendly, the only people that are going to read it are those people that really, really want that information.
I really find myself skipping over sentences these days when I read on the web.
Well, because we're used to consuming information in bite-sized chunks now. Mm. We're used to websites that deliver information in small pieces that are easily digestible. You know, being able to look at, you know, information through infographics or video or podcasts. You know, we don't like reading pages and pages and pages of just text.
Now, I see the next item on your list is images.
Yes, and just a very, very basic. It's amazing how many people don't actually do this. If you put images, images are great, really good in your content, and Google can display images separately from your content. So if somebody's doing an image search, You know, you can find an image on a page can rank higher than the actual page results itself if someone's looking at images. But quite often people put images on a page and don't put any description around it in the back end as to what it actually is.
Right, so when you say description around it, you're talking about the text near the image or the alt?
The alt tags. Attribute. Yeah, so the stuff in the background, Google can see there's an image on the page, but it has no idea if that, you know, what that image is of.
At least we don't think so.
We don't know. I mean, there's some things, isn't there, like they can do, you know, recognition now of landmarks and famous faces. And so they're getting a bit more sophisticated. But generally speaking, if there's an image on the page, Google knows there's an image, and that's about all it can decipher. Mm. So make sure you put an alt tag in and, you know, make sure that you're using the keyword in that image as well, because it understands that image is related to that keyword and is of something specific.
It's almost like images have a bit of a life of their own, don't they? Because they almost like float away and sort of lead their own existence, because they can be separately searched on Google.
They can almost be, you know, they can be served up to the user in a separate search. And obviously, if you're thinking about the amount of competition around specific keywords, there's far less. So you do have a good chance of your image ranking within an image search. And then obviously someone clicks on that image, they land on the page where the content is. So it's just, you know, it's another way of driving traffic to your site rather than somebody else's. And obviously that works the same for video. You know, in Google search results, you can opt to just search video. Right, the next one is, obviously we've mentioned keywords, and we talk about keywords and phrases. So the phrases would normally be slightly longer tail. Depends what it is you're trying to focus on, which topic you're trying to focus on with each piece of content. So we say be specific. You know, I wouldn't try to focus on more than one keyword or key phrase with each piece of content. You know, if there's something else you want to talk about, you know, create that separately. Don't try and stuff it all into one place. But we quite often get asked about keyword density. So this is how many times should I repeat that keyword within that content? So obviously, you know, this comes back to the whole spammy keyword loading that people used to do with their content, where they'd literally put the same keyword, like every other word.
And make it white on white so you can't see
white
it.
White on white, yeah, in the headers and stuff. Yes. Yeah, it's terrible. So Google would look at that content and go, oh, that keyword's being used a lot in that content. That must be really relevant, must be related to that keyword. You know, when the user clicks on it, it's virtually unreadable. So now, obviously, Google doesn't like that. Doesn't like to see a keyword being used too often because then it starts to look spammy. So there is no hard and fast rule with it. I see there's a lot of agencies out there, there's a lot of people out there trying to come up with some kind of rule, because people like rules, especially technical SEO people. They like to give you a, you know, X percentage of times for, you know, the occurrence of keywords, or X amount per so many words. It really just comes down to common sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's about writing that content and making sure that where relevant, you're using that keyword, but not overusing it and not focusing too much on the placement or where you've put it. You know, if it's in the H1s, it's in the first paragraph and it's repeated a few more times in the content, then that should be enough. There's things like if you're linking to any other content elsewhere on the page, using that anchor text, making sure that that text contains the keyword or phrase. Mm. Again, that helps Google to understand that that's an important part of the content. One of the things the only thing we sort of really suggest, there are things like keyword density checkers out there where you can put in the URL into a tool and it will basically tell you, you know, how well optimized or whether your content is over optimized for a specific
keywords. Yeah, they normally give you a percentage, don't they? So it's like, you know, 3 keywords were found in 500 words or something.
Yeah.
So it's like 3/500, whatever that comes out as a percentage.
Yeah. And they can be useful if you really don't know where to start. They can be useful just to run your content through and just have a bit of a look. Word clouds are another one. There's lots of word cloud tools out there.
Ah, word clouds. I haven't come across those very often these days.
No, I really like them.
You normally see
them
over on the right-hand side, over in the margin, don't you? And sometimes they rotate like a sort of sphere of words.
I actually really like word clouds.
Mm.
I think they just give, you know, a very at-a-glance sort of picture of what your content is referring to. And we can do it with clients sometimes, you know, if we might refer through pieces of content, especially if there's sort of big sections. You know, and you can basically see straight away whether an area of the site or a piece of content contains the keywords or related keywords enough. And we've had, you know, instances where we've run content through a word cloud and the keyword is one of the smallest within the word cloud.
Like it.
Something like that. So
just for those who don't know, a word cloud is that cloud of words that you see, and the bigger the word, the more often it appears. That's right.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So, you know, a word cloud can be, you know, just a nice little checker. If you want to have a look, you know, if you're optimizing for a specific keyword, you would hope that keyword would be the biggest word within that word cloud.
Mm.
But again, if it's huge and all of the other words are a lot smaller, at that point you might be thinking it might be in there a bit too much, because you do want to have the general conversation around it as well. So I think that's actually about it. I think we've probably...
You've covered it all.
I think we've pretty much covered the main things. Like I said, there's loads of other things that you could be thinking about if you know, are very technically minded. There is going to be a lot of other things. And then obviously we're talking about off-page, so we're talking about inbound links to content. All of those kind of things help with SEO. But in terms of creating pages and content for your website, these are the main things to get right.
So I'm going to ask you a really difficult question now, because I love asking you difficult questions, Felice. We talked about the technical and the sort of human-y content side of SEO.
Yeah.
Which do you think is more important? I think I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I think you know what I'm going to say. They're just
It's all important.
They
Andrew.
Are intrinsically linked together.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends who you ask, really.
Mm.
You know, I think it's about laying the foundations with the technical and then building on them with the content.
Yeah.
If your foundations aren't right, it doesn't matter how much content you're producing, it's all going to crumble. At the same time, if you've only got the foundations right, you're sending content out into the ether with no real anchor. So both of them are important. And they're just the basics to get right before you then start looking at social engagement and outreaching and inbound links and all of those other things that obviously all of us content people do.
Felice, thank you so much. I'm sure our listeners will find it very useful. Thank you for listening. Sitevisibility.com/IMPodcast is the place to go if you want to find us on the web. You can also find us in iTunes. Please rate us in iTunes. We like that. And if you've got questions, our email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. And there's also a telephone number you can call, +44 1273 256 150. So that's all from me, Andy White, and it's all from
Felice Ayling.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.